All right, tough. Tough. No other way to put it.
Tough night is where you are ahead. 7:03. I'm ready with Sleeve. We're going to do another extra hour of Live Imaging Tuesday.
Is there one more hour? Let's go till 9. What do you got going on?
I'll go till 10 if you want. We'll go commercial free 8 to 10 p.m. Just bang calls all night.
I like it. What's going on there, Morales?
Have a good night's sleep. Have fun.
All right, buddy. All right. Yeah, you have to get that last word in. Hey, man has been here. He's working all day long. Let him get that last word in. As I mentioned, what a tough night. What a tough situation for the Lakers. And I don't know if it's going to get any better. Probably not. But when you have opportunities, and we're going to spend, literally, I'll spend the entire hour just kind of, taking phone calls, talking about some of the frustrations around Lakers basketball right now. What kind of hope is there in game three? Is there a way to sort of some shape, way, or form still make it a series? But there's no other way to put it. I mean, in all the, it's kind of interesting because I'm having a text conversation with a couple of buddies who are also Laker fans, and we were literally trying to figure out, I'm like, do you remember another time where being a Laker fan, a more excruciating loss than the one last night against the Denver Nuggets? And I got a couple in my head that I could go back and think to, but that's as tough of a loss that I've ever watched as a Laker fan, as everybody has. And we know what the stakes are. We know the Lakers aren't favorites here against the Denver Nuggets. And we know that the predicament, the situation that the Lakers are in, you got to play almost perfect basketball. And when you get a chance to steal a game, damn, you better take advantage of that opportunity. You have to. And I said this from the beginning. Travis and I kept talking about this in the morning, me doing Lakers Talk Daily, everything else, that you can't fall down 0-2. And I thought last night's game, you had to basically play it as if it's a must-win, complete desperation. And a lot of that just has to do with how good the Denver Nuggets are. And you just don't know how many opportunities. If you miss an opportunity to beat the Denver Nuggets, you might not get that opportunity again. And especially for a team like the Lakers, who have been absolutely reeling against Denver, they've lost now 10 games in a row. It's not just losing a game, but it's how you lose. I cannot think of, you know, at least in the last 10 years or so, a worse moment of Lakers basketball of how you lost a game. And specifically, I'm talking about in the postseason. Phone lines all night long. You guys want to talk Lakers basketball, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. I'll start off with this. And I think, you know, a couple things coming to mind last night. And it's going to be the question of whether the Lakers can actually recover from this. But for me, the biggest problem and the biggest issue I had with last night's game is you can't build a 20-point lead, and then all of a sudden you start playing a completely different style of basketball. It's not the most uncommon thing in sports, but it is the most frustrating thing in sports. The thing that got you the lead, all of a sudden you start going away from. Even if the other team's going to make adjustments, that's fine. Of course, that's going to happen. I think everybody understands that, but you're looking at the clock and you're not looking at, let's just play basketball. And I felt like for the Lakers, the final 15 minutes of that game, they're just trying to dribble the clock out. You only get 24 seconds. Shot clock's only 24 seconds. So no matter what you end up doing, you're going to have to play ball. And if I had to list just some of the things that were most frustrating last night, and there's a long laundry list of things that stand out to me, Darvin Ham makes absolutely no adjustments through the course of a game. I know what plan A was for Darvin Ham. I didn't feel like there was a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. I didn't think there was a plan. Once Michael Malone in that second half started making his adjustments and he decided, okay, that's not working, let me try this. Okay, let me throw Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis. Okay, let me do something a little bit different to get Nikola Jokic looks. Let me keep feeding Jamal Murray. You just felt like they were going to try different things even if they failed. I don't know what Darvin Ham, what his counterpunch was to what the Nuggets were doing. Okay, that's one thing. Anthony Davis, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on, but AD taking one shot in the fourth quarter, I don't know how that's possible, and I do want to spend a little time specifically on Anthony Davis because he's the thing that I walked away with. And I don't think most people felt this way, but AD was the most frustrating piece to me of last night's game. Money on the line, You got basically four stars in this game. Three of them showed up when it mattered most in the fourth quarter. One of those guys was LeBron. The problem was LeBron had to do it by himself. Reeves, Rui, the entire bench. Where the hell was everybody? You know, what's crazy is the Lakers' bench right now through the first two games have 17 points total, and it's all from one player. It's Taurean Prince. And frankly, I thought there were moments in yesterday's game where I'd have took Rui out and I'd have put Taurean Prince in there just because I didn't think Rui was doing anything. It didn't feel like he was ready for the moment. Certainly didn't look like – I know the Lakers certainly weren't running plays or anything like that for him. That's on the Lakers, too, to just keep guys active. But he didn't look like he was ready for the moment. Last night was one of the most devastating losses I've ever watching Lakers basketball. And I've been watching since, you know, I was a kid, 8, 9 years old. You guys know I always joke around about it. Kind of go the end of Magic's era and then the beginning of the Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, Cedric Ceballos, Sadale 3, go down the list of some of these different players. It was one of the worst losses I've ever seen. You could not drop both games in Denver, and you had a shot to actually pull away with a game, and the Lakers obviously weren't able to do it. So I think there's a lot of different paths that we can go tonight, but where I want to start the show is now that the dust has kind of settled here, I think I'm most upset about Anthony Davis. Last night when it was happening, it takes a second to kind of fully gather what the hell just happened here. Even though I thought it was a really slow build, it's not like Denver went on one of those runs. It's like, bam, 15-0 run. Now they're up by 7 or 8 or something like that. Denver wasn't playing good basketball. Denver didn't shoot well from the three. They shot a lower percentage from the Lakers from the two. It's not like they went out. I think Lakers hit 5 more threes than they did. I mean, a lot of things went the Lakers' way. And it's not like that lead of 20, it was gone in 5 minutes. It took literally the entire second half until Denver finally tied it, and then ultimately Jamal Murray hits that final shot. It was a very, very slow bleed. The AD portion of this, I know sometimes we look at, hey, did a guy show up and you just look at his stats? But it's not just showing up, but it's when you show up. I don't want to minimize what Anthony Davis did in those first three quarters because he was incredible. There were stretches in that game for Anthony Davis, specifically the first half, where who was it? It was Reggie Miller and Jamal Crawford, part of the call for TNT. They just kept going back and forth. Man, there's no answer for this guy. Look at this guy. Look at the rhythm that he's in. Look at the confidence that he has. And then the moment is, I just kind of find it comical that because Aaron Gordon, they make one switch that Aaron Gordon is now guarding Nikola Jokic. All of a sudden, Anthony Davis doesn't want the ball anymore. All of a sudden, Anthony Davis doesn't want to go down on the block anymore. And again, that's why I started this off by saying I don't want to minimize his production over the first three quarters because obviously that had a lot to do with the Lakers going up by 20 points. But the fourth quarter, that's money time. That's when the best players in the world deliver. Let me give you an example there in the fourth quarter. Nikola Jokic, I think everyone would agree, is a money player, and he's the best player in the world right now. Did anybody have any doubt that Jokic was not going to deliver in the fourth quarter? I don't think anybody did, and he did. Jamal Murray, let's choose another one of their players, struggled all game. But when push came to shove and the money was on the line, who showed up? It was Jamal Murray with 14 points in the fourth quarter, back-to-back jumpers that end up winning the game for the Denver Nuggets. I didn't have a question, even though he was struggling, was he 3 of 14 coming into the fourth quarter? When the game was on the line, Jamal Murray delivered. Does anybody have any issue with what LeBron James did yesterday when the money was on the line for his 21st season in the NBA? You know who delivered again? LeBron James. All those players, the stars of the game, delivered in crunch time when you needed it most. The one star that did not deliver, Anthony Davis. The one star that leading up to the fourth quarter was the player that you're saying to yourself, okay, hey, let's get AD the ball. Okay, well, how come Anthony Davis doesn't demand the ball? Hey, let's make sure that this is 2-on-2. If we got They got two stars on that side that's ready to deliver in the fourth quarter. Well, we got two stars on our side that's ready to deliver in the fourth quarter. Bron was going 2-on-1 against the Denver Nuggets yesterday. The more that I'm distanced away from that game last night, there's a lot of things to bitch and complain about. How is arguably one of the best players in the world, who just a couple hours before, was the night before, was talking about how he didn't get defensive player of the year. I was telling Michael Thompson in the pregame show, hey, man, I hope this guy uses this as fuel. You know what? This might be the best timing to have Anthony Davis not get the defensive player of the year going into game two in what in my eyes was a must-win game, because I don't think anyone's winning four out of five games against the Denver Nuggets. Money on the line. We're in the fourth quarter. You got a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. I know AD had four fouls. I understand that they had to sub him out. I think he ended up with five fouls. Jokic got that one and one that got him his fifth foul. I'd rather Anthony Davis take 8 to 10 shots in the fourth quarter and go 0 for 8 or 1 for 10 or 0 for 10 than take one freaking shot. Again, I'm going to say it again. The more I distance myself from the game, the more frustrated I get, because I'll say it again. It's not just showing up. It's when you show up. When did you get those stats? When did you deliver? And maybe this is – maybe I'm comparing Anthony Davis to the wrong players, but if you're a star player – on a championship quality team, Lakers obviously have won a championship with Anthony Davis in the past, and I won't say championship quality this year. That's not the right way to put it. But if you got a shot of making this a series, it was game two. And if you're up 10 going into the fourth quarter and your two best players are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and on the other side, you know Joker and Jamal Murray are going to deliver, which exactly what they did. Bron was going 1-on-2. Because I know nobody else was delivering for the Lakers. I know no other bench players were delivering for the Lakers. I know the role players. I mean, D'Lo had his 7 threes, but all that came earlier in the game. Push comes to shove, it's got to be Anthony Davis. And AD was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. I know the Lakers have their own issues. Coaching is a problem. Not running set plays is a problem. There's a long laundry list of things that the Lakers ran into yesterday, but for me, it's money time. Where are your money players? That was 1-on-2. Lakers Talk is presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Just visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. We come back. I want to take some calls, 877-710-ESPN. I also want to spend time on probably, you know, one of the things that is so mind-boggling to me in a game like yesterday. And, you know, I think a really, really important time of the year, your coach has to have their imprint on the game. And I don't think I need to tell anybody out there. I didn't feel like that was the case yesterday. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, I'm going to get to some of your guys' phone calls here in just a minute or two. So one thing that I mentioned about some of the worst losses in Laker history, and I'm talking about just more my era, and I'll throw a couple out there that stick out. I remember Lakers in 2008 taking on the Boston Celtics, and this is the NBA Finals. And Boston has a 2-1 lead on the Lakers, and the game is at the time Staples Center. Lakers are up 24 in Game 4 to tie the series. I actually had tickets to Game 5, so I was incredibly excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lakers got a chance to go up 3-2 when I'm there. Anyways, long story short, Lakers blow that 24-point lead. They end up losing that game. So then they go down 3-1. Lakers win Game 5 at Staples 3-2, and then they obviously lose the series. I think of another one. This one actually stands out to me more than anyone. Lakers were trying to four-peat, as ridiculous as that sounds. So with Shaq and Kobe, they win three in a row. In 2003, they're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. And Laker fans, you guys may remember this one. It reminded me of this yesterday because Robert Horry was doing Spectrum on the post-game show on Spectrum Sportsnet. Lakers are trying to get to the NBA Finals for the fourth straight year. They're down 20-plus on the road against the San Antonio Spurs. Series is tied 2-2. This is Game 5 in San Antonio. Lakers are down 20-plus. They come all the way back. Cut it to within 2. Robert Horry, of course, this always just seemed the case. The ball just ended up in his hand at the most critical times. And Horry does what he's done his entire career, whether with the Rockets, whether with the Lakers, whether with the Spurs. Lines up that 3, takes the 3, Lakers down 2, and the ball goes in, and it goes out. And Robert Horry just was stunned, like he's never missed a clutch jumper in his life. Lakers lose that game. Now they're down 3-2, and then they get blown out at home at Staples Center, and this was the first time basically the Lakers and Phil Jackson, under the Phil Jackson era, tasted a loss. They were going for their fourth straight championship. But those are a couple that come into mind. I know, I'm sure there's other Laker fans that have others in mind as well, but those are postseason ones, right? Those are playoff games. And last night, the gut punch of Jamal Murray hitting that bucket over Anthony. By the way, when they switched on, it was Anthony Davis. I'm like, I'll take my chances with this. It's Anthony Davis. But Jamal Murray, the way he described it, he kind of took a step back, which Anthony Davis had to respect the jumper. So he comes out, and then he's making it look like he's going to the basket. And the only angle he had on Anthony Davis, I got to go step back. I got to go fade away. He did, and he hit the shot. Just a dagger. And certainly not a shot any Laker fan wants to remember. All right, let's take some calls. Wow, a lot of calls here. Let's start off. Let's go with line 4, Hugh, who's on the 405 freeway. Hugh, what's going on? Thank you for calling in, buddy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, bud. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I love listening to you, Slee. I think you're great. You always tell it like it is. I'll be quick because I know there's a lot of other callers waiting. I'm 59 years old. I've been a diehard Lakers fan since 1972 when the L.A. Lakers won their first championship back when Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain were playing. So I'm a longtime fan of many different eras. I agree with everything you're saying, except I don't hold Anthony Davis completely responsible for that. Yes, he disappeared in the fourth quarter, but first of all, I know you mentioned it already, I'm going to mention it again. Don't forget, because he was in foul trouble, that kind of took him out of his element a little bit, but also I hold Darvin Ham and LeBron James responsible for that, because not only does Anthony Davis have to demand the ball, you're 100% correct, he has to demand the ball, but being that LeBron James is the facilitator of that offense, he has to demand, if he doesn't see that Anthony's not taking it upon himself and doing that, he has to say, Anthony, get your behind on the block and do this. And Darvin Ham also has to make sure that this is happening and coach and make better.
Hugh, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in. I appreciate you calling in. I don't disagree with anything that you said, but AD's first on that list. I don't disagree with you. And listen, I part of my tease here coming into this next segment was Darvin Ham. Guys, I got to be honest with you. And I'm a fan of him personally. Any interaction that I've had with him, I really, really like Darvin Ham. I don't know what he was doing yesterday. I have no idea what he was doing in the second half yesterday. Lakers aren't calling any plays. So I'm not here. If I'm telling you that, let's put it this way. if you agree with me that Anthony Davis needs to figure out a way to get the damn ball and have an impact in that fourth quarter, you can't tell me that you agree, or you can't tell me that it's Darvin Ham's fault first and LeBron James has a mix in that. You could say, hey, look, some of these guys, they can help the situation as well. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Anthony Davis is responsible for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was the one that started the game. Didn't he start the game 13 of 14? Wasn't it some ridiculous stat like that? Sure, go ahead and put some blame on Darvin Ham on that. I agree. I don't disagree with that. If you want to say LeBron James on that as well, fine. Anthony Davis is a grown-ass man who's an all-star in the NBA that many think is a top-10 player. I think he's the best two-way player in the league, or top three, or whatever you want to call it. Do we really got to call a play for Anthony Davis? Because, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, you know how many times we've said when Anthony Davis got traded to the Lakers that there was going to come a point where LeBron James was going to hand the keys over to Anthony Davis and say, hey, you take over. I don't think that's how LeBron is wired. I don't think that's how Michael Jordan was wired. I don't think that's how Kobe was wired. Magic Johnson. I don't think players of that magnitude can hand the keys over to somebody else. You got to go get them. And Anthony Davis, up to this point in his career, do you ever felt like Anthony Davis went and grabbed the keys from LeBron James and said, this is, everything's running through me. I eat first. If this franchise is going to have any success, you run everything through me. Has there been a moment where you said, oh my God, everybody get the hell out of the way? That's Anthony Davis's squad. Let me use last night as an example. I think that's actually symbolic. Was there a moment in last night's game? I don't even think LeBron, if Anthony Davis went up to LeBron James and said, give me the freaking ball, you run it through me for 3-4 possessions in a row, I'm going to get us back on track. I don't think LeBron would argue that. Here's the problem. AD ain't asking for the keys. AD's not in a position where he's sitting there and he's telling LeBron James, I don't know what the hell we're doing. I don't see Anthony Davis on the sideline telling Darvin Ham, stop drawing up plays. There is no play to be ran. By the way, I don't even know. I don't even know if I saw a play being drawn up. But I don't see Anthony Davis say, put the dry erase board away. Run it through me. I think that's actually symbolic. I think a little bit of yesterday in the fourth quarter, I like using this phrase, that when the money is on the line, everything is on the table. There are certain players in this league that say, if the money is on the table, it better run through me. Jokic and Murray were doing that for the entire fourth quarter. Bron was doing that as best as he can through the fourth quarter. By the way, he's 39 years old. He's in his 21st season. He's played 280 playoff games. The man can only do so much. AD wasn't asking for the keys. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. All right, let me squeeze in another quick call here. Let's go to Mark in Redondo Beach. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Slee, thanks for having me. Long time, 50-year-plus Laker fan. I think we all were holding our breath last night and sensing that the inevitable was going to happen. And I understand we can concentrate on AD not showing up, or LeBron the game before not showing up in the fourth. But I think, you know, as Sedano says, when in doubt, zoom out, right? I think we need to look at the macro and not the micro, in that I think it's time that we move on from LeBron. I think that we've gotten some good stuff out of him. I think that when you have a certain roster with a caliber of players that are going to fill the gaps in those low moments, you know, Denver had a grace about them last night. You could tell they were going to come back. You could tell there was subtle confidence that came through in the whole entire game, and they knew they were going to come back. And you know what? We all did also. We were holding our breath, hoping that we snuck one by them last night, but it didn't. I think it's clearly evident that it's time, as stressful as it may be, it's time to shake it up a bit, see what we can get for LeBron, if we can get anything, and let's start planning for the future, because I think us trying to make something work that we all know is not going to work is is an exercise in, you know, in futility there. So,
Mark, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you chiming in. We could hit a little bit on that when we come back. I'll spend a little bit of time on that. Lakers Talk, by the way, is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. It's interesting, Mark. I will tell you, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that, and especially LeBron still playing at this level, even though I know he's not the same guy that he was a few years ago, I don't think there's going to be, hey, let's blow it up and refresh it. I think they'll keep rolling with the punches. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be the same roster. It doesn't mean it's going to be the same coach. I have no idea. I guess we'll discuss that more once the season ends. Okay, more of your phone calls coming up. I know we got a lot of Laker fans that want to weigh in, so we'll do that. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, next game for the Lake Show. It's coming up on Thursday, so something to keep in mind right there. Lakers will... Yeah, it's funny. Listening to LeBron in that post-game sound, I heard Ireland talking about this a little bit earlier, too, and I don't disagree. Now, this is not a position that the Lakers want to find themselves in, but, all right, just simplify it. You got one game coming up on Thursday. You're trying to win one home game against the Denver Nuggets. That's it. There really, literally, is nothing else that you're trying to accomplish but to win one game on Thursday, and maybe if you could snap that 10-game losing streak. Don't tell me that's not in the heads of some of these Laker players and the coaches and everybody else. It's got to just leak in, and it's part of your psyche. Trying to get one W. I thought the Lakers had to split in Denver. This is more of a compliment to the Denver Nuggets, and they certainly, you know, obviously weren't able to do it, but it's also how they lost the games. I mean, up 12 in game one, up 20 in game two. Jeez. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, I didn't think the game was over when they were up 20. I got to be honest. I thought the game was over. I really did. I thought the Lakers were clicking on all cylinders and Denver just looked like they were having an off night. Well, that didn't happen as planned. All right, couple more calls here. John in the Palisades. John, what's going on? Thank you for calling into Lakers Talk.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? You're doing a great job here on the Lakers Talk. You know, I want to get a little deep. I'm going to touch on some surface things, but our problems are much deeper than just these last two games. You know, of course, our bench has been horrible. Worst playoff bench in Lakers history.
Oh, man.
Okay? In the history, our coach had no head coaching experience. He does not appear to be that smart or capable of coaching a team of this caliber. I mean, the assistant coaches, you look at them, they're non-existent. Do you recognize any of them? And let's not include Phil Handy. He goes where LeBron goes. You look at the Clippers bench. You got Tyronn Lue. You got Brian Shaw. And you got Larry Drew. That's over 100 years of playing and coaching experience on the Clippers bench. Why don't we have that? And why doesn't – and the King deserves better in his last few good years.
John, I appreciate you. Go ahead. Finish up that point.
Who built this bench? Who hired this coach? It's Rob Pelinka. He's the problem. How many guys would want it to be in L.A. that would be so supportive of this team in LeBron's last 2 years? Larry Nance, he wanted to stay in L.A., okay? DeMar DeRozan begged to come to L.A.
True.
How would he look with the Lakers?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to jump in here for a quick second, but it's interesting, John, because if this is how the season ends up ending, you can say, oh, you know, you lost to the Denver Nuggets 2 years in a row, and maybe Denver repeats, and you could not fool yourself, but you could tell yourself a story of, you know, what are you going to do? You just can't get past the two-time champions. Maybe this is the team that dominates the NBA or is in the mix for the next 4 or 5 years. I don't think that'd be too big of a surprise. I'm not telling you they're going to win every year, but they're going to be in the mix for a handful of years. But I think there is something about, if this happens in the first round, I think there is something that you got to start looking at. Well, what happened in the regular season where you're in the play-in tournament again? Why'd you go 50 games before you started Rui and D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves? I think that group went 19-6 when they started together. Don't include the playoffs. I know the playoffs. All right, if you want to include it, it's 19-8 now. Whatever the case is, they're continuing to lose against Denver. It's going to be some big decisions to be made. Big decisions. And I actually lean more with you on what you said there. I think LA has an interest. I think Laker fans have an interesting relationship with LeBron. I look at him and I spend more time. Of course, there's time where you might be frustrated. I mean, last night's game, it's like, Bron, you really just going to dribble the ball just at the top of the key? We're not going to run a play. Is there going to be any movement? It doesn't seem like that's a good game plan when Bron does that. And then he hits 2 threes in a row. He gets the and one on Jamal Murray or Jamal Murray, KCP, whoever's guarding him, gets the free throw as well. I marvel at LeBron. Not every time, but I also remind myself that he's in his 21st season in the NBA and he's played 280 playoff games, which is more than three additional seasons. Not everybody looks at it that way. I had a call earlier that was talking about blow the whole thing up. And then I had, you know, this call, John from the Palisades, saying we're wasting one of the greatest players that's still this effective this at this stage of his career because of other decisions that the organization has made. I lean more towards that, to be honest. Mo in San Marcos. Mo, what's going on?
What's up, Slee?
What's going on, buddy?
I talk about AD. I mean, I feel like out of everything, there's a lot of blame that can go around.
Could barely hear you, Mo. Can you get a little closer to your phone there?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was going to say, there's a lot of blame that could go around from yesterday's game, but I don't feel like AD should be at the top of the list. I mean, AD had the best half of his entire career, I felt like, in that first half. And without him, we would have been down 20 instead of up 20. So I don't feel like he's the reason we should be blaming or we should be talking about. I know he didn't have the best fourth quarter, but he's a big man. It's on LeBron to get him the ball. It's on Darvin Ham to get him the ball. I know he should demand the ball, but at the end of the day, those two guys got to get him the ball first and foremost out of everything. I think we should more be focusing on the coach and less about AD.
I appreciate you calling in, Mo. I appreciate you calling in. I will say this. I don't think I'm over-exaggerating on Anthony Davis. I don't feel that way at all. You know, and I tried emphasizing, I'm not taking away what he did in the first three quarters. It's money time. You think Shaquille O'Neal is not going to touch the ball in the fourth quarter? You don't think Shaquille O'Neal is going to demand the ball? By the way, then I have to stop myself because I'm comparing one of the greatest to ever do it to Anthony Davis, and that's not fair. I want AD to be in that category. He's not. So I should not be comparing that. But let's take his peers. Let's take AD's peers. Is Joel Embiid taking one shot in the fourth quarter? Is Nikola Jokic taking one shot in the fourth quarter? Is Giannis Antetokounmpo taking one shot? Hell, give me another big man. Karl Anthony Towns taking one shot? I don't think so. I'm not going to ask other people to set up Anthony Davis. What I'd prefer seeing is Anthony Davis not getting the ball and telling those other people, give me the damn ball. But that's not taken away from the frustration of Darvin, because I definitely think there's frustration with Darvin as well. Solomon, Lake Balboa, what's going on, Solomon?
Oh, hey, I'm good, Alan. Try not to repeat too many of the points the previous callers are doing, but I will, concentrate on Darvin and LeBron. Darvin Ham, you know, adjustments during the game, changing a game plan, not his specialty.
No such thing.
It's not in him.
Yeah, it's plan A.
Not in his DNA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not in his DNA, and I was worried that he was going to get out-coached for sure in this series. And I think that's been the case for at least two games here, if not at least game two. LeBron, here's what happened. Here's how I see it. I think, you know, the Lakers play a certain style for three quarters, and it works. LeBron is more of a facilitator. Something gets in his head. I don't know if it's ego. I don't know if he's afraid of critics saying he's not enough of a dog in the fourth quarter. It looks like he feels he's got to take over the fourth quarter. And when that happens, he's got the ball. They go into the four-corner offense. They start stalling. They start deferring to him, and they fall apart. So as long as
not a good offense.
Because he's got the ball in his hands, it is kind of up to him to keep playing a style that's going to make the Lakers win. And that's not necessarily him having to take over the fourth quarter.
Solomon, that's a good point. I like that observation. I think that over the court, and I appreciate you calling in. I think over the course of that game specifically, you're right. There probably is a little bit too much hero ball. I don't think he could depend on anybody else in that. I go back to the fourth quarter. Who can he look to and say, okay, I feel good because Austin Reeves feels good. I feel good because D'Lo was hitting shots, but most of it was early. Torian Prince didn't come back in the game, and you had basically Rui Hachimura that the moment looked like it was too big for him. And then Anthony Davis I already talked about. So we could sit here, long laundry list of things. I do know this, that Lakers got another game on Thursday, and they're already down 0-2. I'm sure there's a little bit of psychological warfare right now for the Lakers just because of losing 10 in a row to the Denver Nuggets. But if you got any shot, Thursday is your time to pick yourself up. And it's tough to see this becoming a series, but if it can have any opportunity for it, obviously Thursday is when you're going to have to take care of business. Okay, we got crunch time coming up next. So Funch has got a couple NBA stories. We're going to look around the league for a few minutes here as well. We'll do that coming up next. I appreciate everybody that called in. Sorry I couldn't get to everybody. I tried as best as I can. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, what do you got over there, Funch?
Wow, I like that intro by Mario.
Oh, yeah, Mario. Come on.
So we got, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 teams. We have four series that are 2-0 right now. We have the Timberwolves and Suns. The Suns just lost right now, literally 10 minutes ago, and they're down 0-2. The Nuggets, Lakers, obviously. And then also the Cavs and Magic and the Knicks and 76ers.
Knicks and Sixers.
Yes. And so which team that is down 0-2 has the best chance of coming back?
Best chance of coming back. Huh, that's a good question. All right, Orlando, Cleveland, I'm going to skip out on that one. I think Cleveland's going to win, and to be honest with you, it's probably the least interesting of all the series right now. Phoenix, it's an interesting one. Phoenix and Minnesota. The reason why I'm not going to go Phoenix, I haven't believed in Phoenix, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Minnesota plays defense. Minnesota has great size. They got a great bench with Naz Reid waiting to come in. They got vets in Mike Conley and Jaden McDaniels. And they also have a dude by the name of Anthony Edwards. Pretty good basketball player. So I don't have faith in that one. I'm going to go Philly coming back on New York will be the team that I think of all the teams that we just mentioned, the best chance of coming back. New York's a gritty team. That doesn't mean they're a good team. Philly, it's all going to come down to the health of Joel Embiid.
Philly
so
had a game too.
I know, they had game two.
They had game two wrapped up.
DeAndre, you agree with that, or you got a different team of that list there?
I don't know, man. I think the Suns can make a little run. You know, it's going back.
A little noise.
That's right.
I think that, you know, going back in Phoenix, I feel like Devin Booker and KD will, you know, get things under control out there. You know, I mean, they only have a 7-man rotation, but I think they'll get the job done.
Yeah, I would say that I think you two have both liked just that Suns squad. When they look good, they look really good.
Yeah.
When they struggle, oh my gosh. Like it's a completely different squad. So okay, you guys got Phoenix. I'll take Philly in this.
And the Knicks right now, like you're betting against the Knicks?
I'm betting against the Knicks,
like
not
they're playing
because,
really well.
No, they're a gritty team. They're a gritty team. They shouldn't have won yesterday. Now they did, so it is what it is. But would you be shocked if Philly wins two home games? I wouldn't be. Like, if Philly wins two home games in a row, I wouldn't be shocked if it's two apiece going back to New York. And I know a lot of that is just going to be predicated on one player, which is Joel Embiid, so it's all going to come down to that.
And what's going to happen tomorrow with the OKC and...
OKC, New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah.
Okay, so Michael and I were talking about this in the pregame show, and I think New Orleans had a shot to win that game. But I do believe OKC getting that first one out of the way, Doesn't it feel like they're going to build some momentum as the series goes along? Like, it's the youngest team in the NBA. It's not like these guys have a lot of experience to lean on. I think OKC goes up 2-0. What do you think?
I like OKC going up 2-0, too. They're really good. Really,
what's
really
good. What's the score of that Clippers-Dallas game right now?
Dallas is up 23-19, start of the second quarter.
Okay, start of the second quarter. That, to me, is the series where either I'm going to look like an idiot or, I picked Dallas. Dallas is the team that I picked. By the time game one was over, DeAndre, I'm like, what the hell just happened? What, the Clippers just been sitting around for 2 months just ready for the playoffs to start? And that could be the answer, but I think this is a big one for Dallas. I might as well just throw a Mavs jersey on because I just want to see the Clippers.
Also, a little update right now. We're going to have our first tied series as Indiana is about to beat the Bucks.
Okay. What's the score there?
122-106, yeah.
Oh, look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be a series. I mean, Giannis didn't play again, right?
No,
Giannis
he didn't.
Is still out? All right. So, all right, fellas, good stuff right there. I know we got coming to a close of the show here. I want to give everyone just a quick reminder here. So, looks like there are reports out there that Vando and Christian Wood could potentially be back tomorrow. So keep that one in mind. I will say this, man, as much as the Lakers can use bodies, defensive players, a little bit more size, you know, that whole thing, don't put too much stock in this. Not fair to expect too much from two players that have been out for as long as they have. And then, hey, here you go. It's game three, and it's against the defending champs. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it, even though I do think, like I said, any help that the Lakers can get is important. I'll take it. Everyone will take it, and hopefully they are back. They're healthy, and they could have some kind of impact. Quick shout-out here. Thank you to Michael Funches, Mario Ruiz, DeAndre Hawkins, Cody Liu back there doing everything on YouTube. So I appreciate everybody helping out there. I'll be back on tomorrow with Travis Rogers. LA, as always, thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a part of the show. Have a great rest of your night.